Hey, KT from KT Got Game here. Had a very good show planned for you today, but we took a little detour, got into some performance-enhancing drugs talk. NBA, NFL, a little cycling, professional sports in general. Very, very good and interesting conversation between myself, producer Tone, and Zach. So tune in. If you are if you're a sports fan, I think we all had some good things to say, some good insights. So tune in. Like I said, we talked primarily today about steroids and performance-enhancing drugs. KT from KT Got Game.
Make it to the top, wait for a bit or more, seesaw on summit that you never seen before. It came back reversed.
All right, so Penny Hardaway, the great Penny Hardaway, Anthony Hardaway is on Inside the NBA today.
Nice.
I was watching the first half of the Knicks Thunder and saw Penny come out and talk to D3 and Shaq. And I think we forget how good that guy was, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we talk about Russell Westbrook and all these athletic guards, and you know, Penny was a legit 6'7".
Yep.
Handles, athleticism, nice jump shot. I mean, Penny was headed for the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, from the moment he stepped onto an NBA court.
Yep.
And unfortunately, he had knee injuries, right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, unfortunately, knee injuries took it from him. But I was thinking, I got a couple questions for you here, man. Tone can hop in. Who would have been the better player, Penny or Grant Hill, if either of them, neither of them had got hurt?
I'm gonna say, because this is so crazy, because I just looked at the stats on these guys, and stat wise, I think, I think Grant Hill would have had the better career.
Really?
I think Penny Hardaway still would have been really good. But you remember, like, towards that time, if I remember correctly, because T-Mac ended up going to Orlando, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was supposed to team up with Grant Hill, like, right before he got injured.
Right, right.
You know, so that would have been special right there. But, hey, Tone, if you could look at, is there any way you can look at Grant Hill's stats? Like, there was a time where Grant Hill had, it was like 26 points, 10 rebounds. I didn't know he rebounded the ball that well.
He was averaging 10
points? He was averaging 10 rebounds for a season.
I didn't know that.
And maybe even 7 assists or something crazy like that.
He was close to a triple-double.
I would give the slight edge to Grant Hill.
Grant Hill?
Yeah.
What about Penny or Jason Kidd? Well, let me give you my opinion first. I'm going with Penny. I think Penny was – Grant Hill was dynamic.
Grant Hill averaging in 1996, 1997, in the 95-96 season, averaging 9 boards.
Yeah.
9.8 boards in 95-96. 7.3,
7. And how many points did he average?
Probably about 22, 23.
Yeah, 21, 21, 21, straight across the board. 25 points in 99-2000.
He was averaging 25 that late?
That late. That surprised me, too.
And what was his rebound numbers then?
At that time, 6.6, 5.2 assists.
So he had a season where he had 22 points, almost 10 rebounds.
25? Yeah, yeah. Well, 25 points, 6.6 boards, 5.2 assists.
Man, that dude was balling, man.
That's all over the court.
I'm still going to take Penny. I think Penny Penny came into the league and took the Magic to the, you know, to the finals right away, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, with him and Shaq, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Shaq was obviously a big part of that, but they were, you know, it was Scott Skiles the year before.
So yeah, that's Nick true. Anderson that was, there at the time?
Yeah, that
Nick
was
Anderson,
a huge upgrade.
Scott,
he made Nick Anderson in D3 a lot better.
That was a great team.
Yeah, it was a great team. It was a great team. I hated that they got ran so bad by the Rockets.
Yep,
that was really embarrassing. But I don't know. I'm gonna take Penny. Grant was nice. I thought that Penny had a chance to come back in Phoenix with Jason Kidd. That never worked out.
Yeah.
And then, again, it's just sad to see guys like him, T-Mac. Grand Hills just almost, lose their their season or their careers before they really
and
took
I almost
off.
Think like a lot of people you could say that for that era. You know, the Antonio McDices, you know, I mean Antonio mm-hmm. McDice would have been a great player too, but I think it was that microfracture, you know, the microfracture knee surgery that was going on, and I don't think that it was something that, you know, they really didn't know how to rehabilitate, I should say, at the time. Now you see Amari Stoudemire's came back from it, you know, Blake Griffin has came back fine from it. So I think it's one of those things where, you know, had they had some of that modern medicine then, you know, it would have been they would have been able to stay around longer. So it's definitely messed up because I think we got robbed of seeing that's greatness fans. As well. Yeah, yeah, you know yeah, what I mean?
Right. Who's and you remember that was kind of that lull between Jordan yep. leaving. You know, they would have mm-hmm. filled that void.
Yep.
You know, up until about 05, 06, 07, you
exactly.
know? So what do you think about who you're taking, Jason Kidd or Penny, if Penny stays healthy?
I'd have to say that I would take Penny Hardaway.
You take Penny over
yeah,
Jason
Kidd? Yeah, I mean, he could score better. You know, he could pass just as good. He was 6'7". I don't think he has the vision or the, you know, some of the skills as a point guard as Jason Kidd. But I think that Penny was he was dynamic. You know, you could play him at the one, the two, the three. And if you remember that year when Shaq left, do you remember the series when he scored like 40 points on Miami,
yeah.
like every single game? I mean, he single-handedly kept
that.
Orlando in those games. And we're talking about, you know, a good Miami team with Alonzo Mournings and all of them on there. You know,
right.
I mean,
right.
so, I mean, he was
– And I love scoring, so I'm going to take Penny because I think he was a much better scorer than Jason Kidd. And I
right.
don't think Jason Kidd was, from as far as passing goes, I don't think Jason Kidd was that much better
right.
a passer or a floor
he,
leader.
He had a couple seasons with 10.8, 10.1. 9.8, 9.9, 8.9, 9.2 assists. That's a strong run right there.
You're talking about Penny, right?
I'm talking about Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a strong run that I didn't think he really had.
No, I mean, he was, I mean, one
well,
of the best
up,
passers.
Pull up Penny's
you ever
assists,
see.
Would you please?
Yeah, I got Penny's right here. You know, his best run was 6.6, 7.2, 7.1. That was his first couple years
really?
With Shaq down low.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's surprising.
That's really surprising.
But he averaged 20-some-odd points. I mean, he averaged 18, 19.
But he wasn't playing point guard all the time necessarily.
Emmons, he was that first year he was spending a lot of time with Skiles in the backcourt. Or yeah, Scott Skiles.
Yeah.
Sharing time with him.
Yeah, in the backcourt. And then they move forward without Skiles.
I just feel like, man, I watched Penny Hardaway and I mean, and this is around a time where I don't have the same, especially even college basketball. You knew Penny was going to be good from when you watched him at
right.
Memphis.
Right.
So, you know, you don't have those players in college basketball right now like how Penny was, how Grant Hill was. And maybe it'll change when Jabari Parker and Wiggins, you know, come to college. But, you know, right now, who are you checking for in terms of coming to the NBA? Like, nobody has the type of hype or excitement, like, you know, when Penny and all those guys were coming.
Is Jabari Parker going to be that good? I'm a little disappointed in these you know, web services that give you all these high school scouts, because I've watched the Shabazz kid at
mm-hmm.
UCLA. Not that impressed.
Oh, you're not impressed?
I'm not that impressed.
Okay.
I'm not. You like him?
I think he's decent.
I'm not that impressed with his game at all.
Now,
think about this, Zach. College basketball is just down.
It
across
is.
The board.
It's down.
So if you're that elite and UCLA is not even in the top 25 and Pac-10 is down,
right?
Something's wrong. You know what I mean? Those things don't add up to me.
And the thing about it is when you look at it, you look at, I think, like Kevin Durant. I mean, he did his thing in college. Even Michael Beasley having Kansas State.
Right.
And they were, you know.
Top 10 teams.
Yeah. And there were really nobodies in
right.
college basketball. So, I mean, you look at guys like that that have that type of impact, and you're seeing, like, all these number ones and all this stuff, them getting knocked off across the board. I mean, I don't know. College basketball is definitely down this year. But that Andrew Wiggins kid, I heard he's the truth.
Okay.
He's
going to
be the
truth.
Where's
he going?
I don't know if he's signed yet.
What about Parker?
Parker,
Brigham Young?
No, I think he's going to.
You know, he's a Mormon.
Yeah, that was crazy. I think he's going to Duke.
Yeah,
he's gonna play for the Jazz.
They probably do everything they can to draft him.
Right.
All
right,
Lakers. It's about that time. Yeah. Now, Jabari's been hating on my Lakers.
Yeah.
He's not here to take heat from me. 1.5 games back, man. I'm going on record right now saying the Lakers get the, drum roll please, 6th seed.
What?
I'm saying 6.
Ooh-wee.
Zach, Golden State is currently 6, and they're trending down.
So you're saying that you're telling me that L.A. is going to top. So you're saying Utah or Houston is out. So which one are you saying is out then?
I'm saying Utah's out. Mm-hmm. I'm saying Golden State 6. I'm saying Houston. I'm saying Golden State 7. Houston falls to 8, or maybe you transpose those two. But I'm saying my Lakers are in 6, and they meet the Clippers, and there's more. Since that's really not a way series for the Lakers, Lakers make it to the second round.
I'll say this.
You think they meet the Clippers in the first round?
They meet the Clippers finish 3, Lakers finish 6.
Hometown.
Not really. The Lakers don't have, there's no flying. Kobe's comfortable. He's getting his medicine.
And there's arguably more Laker fans at the Clippers game.
And Powell is back. And they take the Clippers to 7 and win.
You know what's crazy? I would rather, for what you just said, the better scenario for the Lakers, honestly, is for them to get the A seed and go against San Antonio. I think they have a better chance. San Antonio gets in the playoffs, man. They was up 2-0 last year to Thunder. Lost four games straight. And then you think about it. They also lost to Memphis as a 1 seed. You mean to tell me you don't think with Dwight Howard, a healthy Paul Gasol, and Kobe Bryant that they couldn't beat the Spurs?
TP is out. Tony Parker's out.
Yeah, and he's out.
He may be coming back and rusty. I would rather see them play the Lakers. I mean the Clippers. I'm gonna tell you why. Because I feel like D'Antoni can outcoach Del Negro. I don't feel like D'Antoni can outcoach Pop.
This is the problem. The problem is I think that the problem that the Lakers have is that they can't guard anybody on the perimeter. That's their problem. So now you got Chris Paul, you got Bledsoe, you got Crawford, you got Chauncey Billups.
I'm not worried about Crawford. Kobe will shut that down.
Yeah, but then
it really is just Chris Paul.
But if Crawford is guarding, if Kobe Bryant's guarding Crawford, then who's guarding Chris Paul?
Nobody. But they struggled with Chris Paul 3 years ago when he was with the Hornets.
And what I'm saying is you put Kobe on Ginobili or you put Kobe on Tony Parker. Ginobili doesn't even start. So 9 times out of 10, you can put Steve Nash on a Gary Neal or something like that. I don't think that Tony Parker is good, but for some reason, I don't think that they have the better perimeter players than the Clippers or a Thunder. I just think that L.A. probably matches up better with the Spurs than they do Clippers.
So you say the Lakers could beat the Spurs in how many?
I think the 7? Lakers. I think they could beat them in 6.
In 6 at home. What about the Clippers? You said
I don't
can't
think
beat
they.
The
I don't think they can beat the Clippers. Okay. I think the Clippers will run them out the gym.
Okay,
I'm with KT on this one. I say which team suffers more when it comes to the playoffs, the Clippers or the Spurs? I think the Clippers do.
I think the Spurs have better coaching, better playoff personnel, and I really don't. I really think Del Negro. Because here's what I think. If the Lakers still won on the road with the Spurs, Pop's not rattled. Duncan's not rattled. They're not rattled. If the Lakers still won from the Clippers,
that's true.
Del Negro's rattled. Here comes the taunts about losing his job.
The mental toughness, yeah.
You know, it's
But I think Chris Paul, I mean, we seen what Chris Paul did to the Lakers a few years ago when he was with New Orleans without much help. So I'm just saying I don't think the Lakers just mad. I don't think they want to see a team like that for 7 games. San Antonio's older and slower. I think that'll benefit the Lakers. And really nobody can guard Kobe Bryant from San Antonio. He'd be a hard cover for any of those guys.
So real quick, Tone, do the Lakers make the playoffs? And if so, what seed?
Oh, I give them the 7.
Seven?
They're on a 7-3 run right now. which is great. I think they knock out Utah. And then Houston's next. Houston's 33-29 right now. It's hard to say.
Okay. And if they get seven,
they don't get better than seven.
If they get seven, they're out.
That's
they're not beating. They're not beating Oklahoma. No,
yeah, that's why.
There's no way they can beat Oklahoma.
What say you? What seed do they get?
I'm gonna tell you, for them to survive or to make it, they're gonna have. I say they get the A seed. I don't think them. I just don't see them leapfrogging those teams like that. I think they're far behind.
You don't think they can catch up with Golden State's struggling, man. They barely won last night.
If anything,
they almost lost.
If anything happens,
to the Kings.
If anything happens, I could see Houston getting six, Golden State getting seven, and or maybe this, you know, seven or eight or flip flopping like that with Golden State and the Lakers. But I just don't see them. I mean, it would be if the Lakers were to get the sixth seed. You know what, I'll say this, even though I don't think they can beat the Clippers, but if they can even accomplish that, then I'll give them a better chance of beating the Clippers if they're able to do that.
So what? Where do you think they will finish?
I think they'll be eight.
Eight?
And yep.
I think they got to play Spurs.
I think they can beat the Spurs.
The Spurs are only two games up on OKC, though.
Whatever the case is, they need to stay away from Oklahoma City.
So then they may
need
to get
to seven. If they see Oklahoma City, they're done.
Yeah, they're toast.
They can't guard. They can't guard them.
All right, so we were talking about this before the show. We talked about it last week. If you haven't listened to the show, Tone, why are you smiling like that?
I'm waiting for the delivery.
It's a controversial topic.
I know it.
The hater Jabbar Washington is not with us today, so we can continue on.
The hater.
I'm smiling.
That's my guy.
I'm smiling because I know it's difficult for you.
It is a difficult topic, but I think it needs to be talked about. So last week we broached the topic of Kobe. And as Zach called it before the show, modern medicine.
It's modern medicine, man.
That's what we'll call it. We'll use some euphemisms here to soften the accusation. No, in all seriousness, though, it started with Colin Cowherd, and you said Skip Bayless, I think,
he's co-signed him. Yep.
They were talking about Kobe being on steroids. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. One, Kobe's my guy. I love him. But we want to talk about stuff here. You know, it's a show, so we want to talk about it.
Definitely.
I said last week that I don't think that he's on steroids. I'm not co-signing Hurd, but he's playing very well, and he's playing with much more athleticism than I've seen him in his second act. Second act being the new, you know, kind of one-on-one Kobe, more jump shots, more ISO, less, you know, athletic, less high-flying, less playing above the rim, less crossovers, and you know, all the stuff he did in his 20s.
Right, right.
I've watched him for the last few weeks, and to be quite candid, in last night's game against the Hornets, and I know it was against the Hornets, so take that with a grain of salt.
Right.
Kobe looked like, I kid you not, Kobe looked like the Kobe from 25 to 30 years old. He was sleek. He was dynamic.
Man.
He was one-on-one going around these guys. Duncan, I think I saw him catch an alley-oop. And, you know, Jabbar said, why can't it just be greatness? I'm not disinclined to believe that, but like we said before the show, why hasn't he done it? It looks like we're just seeing that now, you know?
How about this? Try to dig this one. It's going to be a stretch. We've talked about how Kobe is just the ultimate competitor. He's the alpha male. He's the top dog, right?
Right.
We can agree on that. That's why
that
team works. That's why he works.
Yep.
We've seen LeBron go on this hot streak over the last couple of weeks. Hot streak.
Right.
Right. You think Kobe's just stepping it up?
Trying to keep his name out there?
Trying
with
to say, hey, look at the West Coast, look at the Lakers, we're still relevant, we're going to make the playoffs. They have to make the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, but why didn't we see this earlier? It's not like they're just now in trouble.
Well, I mean, but I think, here's my thing. I think Kobe has played at a high level all year. And I think for him, I mean, he led the league in scoring last year. I think he was close, he was second. Behind Durant. Durant, but he beat him by like some tenths of a point or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So Kobe was still filling it up last year. Now, we may not have seen the athletic moves and the, you know, dunking on people. Like, he dunked on Josh Smith. I watched that and I was amazed.
Very surprising.
You know, but also.
And Josh Smith is
very athletic.
Yeah, he's got
You know, the dunk that he did on the Nets. I mean, was crazy too. So he's been throwing people in.
On the Clippers?
He took off on Chris Paul. And I would say this. I said, look, let's not lose this perspective. I think with Kobe Bryant, 34 is really not that old. to me, when I watch, and we talk about Michael Jordan a lot on this show, when I watch Michael Jordan play, I would say from the years of like 31 to 35, Michael Jordan, that's when I think that he was at his best. He lost a little bit of athleticism, but he was still athletic enough to do certain things on the court. But what happened is his athleticism and his knowledge of the game came together. So now what you have is like you have the best basketball player ever because of those things coming together like that. And for Kobe Bryant, he's 34 years old. Now he has 4 more years of mileage on him, more so than Jordan did. But I mean, I think that's when Jordan was at the peak of his career too. So is it that far-fetched? What makes you think this, KT? Is it the miles? Is it the age?
No. Or so what makes you think, man, this? I'm a huge fan of Kobe. I'm a Kobe connoisseur. Right. I know my guy. And I'm just seeing something different. And I'm thinking, why 2 years ago we needed this against Dallas? You know what I mean? 3 years – or three – was it 3 years ago against Dallas? No, 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Dallas.
They got swept by Dallas. Yeah.
Last year we needed to get it against OKC.
Right.
Where was it? Where was this ability?
It's there, but they're still not winning games, though. They're still not winning games.
Me and my brother talked about this ad nauseum. Kobe could not get around Cephalosha in a one-on-one situation at all.
No, he couldn't.
He couldn't get around Cephalosha at all. He was head fake, jump shot. I was like, what is he doing? Like, Kobe lost his ability to play one-on-one. Now, like you said, he's crossing over guys. Dunking on the second defender coming across. Come on.
Listen,
you know,
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to use the term again, modern medicine. Modern medicine. I'm not going to say that man's on performance-enhancing drugs. And if he is on steroids make your body heal faster so he can get ready for the next game.
That's what we know. There's a bunch of synthetics out there that we don't even know what they do. You know?
But what synthetic is going to make him –
who knows what
be
these,
able to jump higher.
Zach, they had a whole lab. Balco was a whole lab of scientists dedicated to, you know what I mean? Come on, man.
KT, it's not far-fetched. I'm not saying that your accusation is far-fetched.
Wait, hold on. It's not an accusation. Don't put this on me,
No,
man.
I'm not putting it on
saying,
you.
It's a topic.
What your thought or what your opinion is, it's not far-fetched to believe that. But, I mean, you look at LeBron James. Come on, man. He's Karl Malone. He's Karl Malone. He's like Tracy McGrady or Penny Hardaway trapped in a Karl Malone body.
Yeah, that's true.
He's 260 pounds.
That could be genetics.
And he can run like crazy.
That could be genetics.
That man been playing for how long? He's been in the league. How many years?
LeBron's only 28. He's about 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
He's 03, I think.
Yeah, this is 10th or 11th year. It's 11th year in the league. This dude is still. Did you see the picture of him when he caught the alley-oop on the Knicks?
The
dude's neck is over the rim?
Let me tell you this. There is no professional athlete in any sport that if they said X was on steroids, that I would say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this dude was on steroids. When it's money, right?
Yeah.
It's about money and fame.
Yeah.
And people, we see with Lance Armstrong, we see with Marion Jones.
Yeah.
Biking and track are nowhere near as popular globally as basketball.
Right.
So if they'll do it for the little bit of edge and the little bit of change, we're talking $3-5 million for Lance Armstrong.
Yep.
What makes you think guys with $20 million won't want to do it for another re-up on a contract?
I'm going to say it for the competitiveness and the same reason why, even though they've never caught Barry Bonds on steroids, but there was a reason of why Barry Bonds took steroids.
Right.
Okay, so Barry Bonds has a 40 home run, 30 stolen base season. Any other year, he's automatically the MVP. But that same year, McGuire and Sosa are knocking home runs out the park.
Yeah.
He's not getting notoriety. We know Bonds has an ego.
Right.
Next thing you know, he puts up 70-some-odd home runs.
Crazy.
So he probably had – so that was his fuel. That was his – look, man, they getting all the props, and I know they're on something, so I'm going to do it too.
And to me, there's no downside, right? Like, they don't take Barry Bonds' money back.
They don't, but
they don't take his money back. I mean, his name is drug through the mud, but
I hate to say this.
You know, they don't take his money back. They didn't take McGuire's money back.
I hate to say this and because I don't like cheating. But I don't know if I look at that as cheating. I really don't know if I look at that as cheating, because at the end of the day, sports are about entertainment. And I know that the NBA and all these different institutions want to have, like, integrity about these things. But when I pay my money, I don't want to see an old, broke-down Kobe. So right. if Kobe is on right. something, this is the Kobe that I want to see right. because he's entertaining to watch.
They were talking about that on Bill Simmons.
Does it mess up the integrity of the game? I don't know. I don't because I can't measure how much of an edge it gives you. You can't measure.
Yeah, not unless you see a guy of equal, you know, skill and talent, right. and then you see one that's not doing it and one that is.
How can you measure?
Simmons made an interesting point on his podcast. He said, "Was talking about hypocrisy, and that kind of, you know, fans want the best Ray Lewis, they want the best Terrell Suggs, whatever,
right?
And they want fast, they want hard, they want strong." And these guys are really just given, you know, because I've been of the belief that almost every NFL player is on steroids. Like, this is just, right. I've been in the weight room since I was 15. Yeah. So I know what weights makes your body look like.
Yep.
And I know what 265 pounds with washboard abs, like, that doesn't make, you know, that does not compute,
not
man.
Normal.
I'm sorry. That
it's
does not compute,
normal.
Man. And so I see this and I'm just like, and I think I think it's kind of like steroids within baseball in the 90s, where people kind of know, but they're just turning a blind eye. And what Simmons said is, and I've said this for a while, Zach, and we may have to do a football related podcast, because I said somebody's going to get hurt, and it may be fatal, and then that's when Goodell and the league and the owners are going to open their eyes, because at that point fans are going to say, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that. Like, I didn't sign up to see somebody get hit and then die. I just want to see action.
Because, right, and I think that Goodell trying to make the game safe, I get that and understand that. But in what fans have to really realize, and I've argued this point too, because I love football, and, you know, the first thing they do is bring up all the Jack Lamberts, and the man played with a broken leg and all this stuff. And look, man, there's no need to do that anymore. But the thing about it is, these guys – you know, so they're saying the game has been softened. But guys back then, they're not 250 pounds running a 4.440 neither.
Right.
You're talking about, if you take, like, they talk Patrick Willis, for instance, the middle linebacker from the San Francisco 49ers. This dude is 250, 260 pounds. And they said this dude ran a 4.440
at
middle linebacker. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
At that weight, that's really fast.
You're talking about somebody who almost has the speed of Adrian Peterson with a dead-on hit. Like, when I watched that hit from you seen the hit with Clowney from South Carolina?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You look at that, that dude, Jadeveon Clowney, probably runs a 4.5, 4.6. That big.
Right.
200.
And to me,
you know,
to me, what Simmons was saying is that We're clued in the evolution, but has it really happened that fast since the 60s and 70s that guys were 250 and, you know, probably in the 70s, 250, you were running, I don't know, 5, maybe 4.9. And now you get, you know, is science, are the training techniques that much better that these guys are that much faster? I'm saying no. I think my default position with most football players, and that's across the board except for your kickers and punters and maybe holders or whatever. Across the board, my default position is that you're probably on steroids,
mm-hmm.
but
or some sort of growth hormone or something.
We'll call it performance enhancing drugs, right? That's my default position with football because it's so physical.
It's so violent and so physical.
You know?
I'm just even taking it from. I mean, even playing the little bit of high school football I played, it's tough. It's not like it's different from playing basketball and bumping and a guy hits you with an elbow. No, like. I've been smacked before, man.
Hit every play.
Like, for real.
I had concussions. You've had them, Zach, I'm sure, before we knew what they were.
Man,
you played football, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
Did you? My bell rung against Henry.
Oh, yeah?
There's times you don't know which way you're walking. You get up and you just have a headache.
Blindside crack. That's why.
Crackback.
They've even made those blocks illegal in the NFL. The ear hole block. I mean, man, the dude, he wasn't big at all. So imagine if somebody the size of Patrick Willis would have hit me. Man, I've been knocked out cold,
man. Right. And then you get, it's only magnified when you talk about NFL
right.
talent.
Right. And they're running at each other and it's right. special teams and they're right. both that size.
I mean, right. it's a gladiator game, man. And the whole thing while we're on the whole performance enhancing drugs, HGH, I mean, to me, like, and I don't want to sound like I'm just okay with cheating if that's what it is, but like I said, as from a fan perspective, I want to see the best. I don't want to see Kobe break down. I mean, right. he's going to break down eventually,
right?
But I don't want to see him break down now. He's 34 years old. Right. He can still play at a high level.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Zach, I agree with you. There's part of me that wants to see just, you know, everybody starts at a certain point and you get any resource you can to get yourself to be the best. And I want to see the best perform against each other. But then at a certain point, who has access to more stuff? Who's more creative?
It's about the resources.
You know,
yep.
Who has more money at some point?
Yeah, you're right. It's going to come down to dollars. So
do we want that?
And so I'm of two minds on this because I think, Tone, and let's stay on this for a while. I think that's a good – you made
a
good
point.
That's
a great point, Tone.
But as a former basketball player and as a fan of basketball and football – we as fans fall into what I call a superhero mentality, right?
Right?
We watch these guys. I love LeBron. I love watching this dude play. I love Wade. I love Jordan because they do stuff I'm physically incapable of doing.
Right.
And I'll never be able to do that. And God bless them with the right genes the same way he blessed Einstein with the right brain.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so that's part of like, that's why we love these dudes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they're like superheroes. If anybody can take the right drugs, if anybody can be put on the right right cocktail or a bevy of drugs at the right age to get the same result, to me it kind of takes away from it. It just kind of it's like, oh, okay, it's just we're all robots, right? Like we're all just anybody can do it. Anybody can take growth drugs. Anybody can take quickness drugs or whatever. It's like, oh, just make what you want to make. And then put them out there, and then at some point, I lose that superhero feeling.
I'm gonna say this because no matter what, the talent and the skill and the God given ability still has to be there. You take Barry Bonds for instance. Yeah, steroids helped him.
But the God given ability is the physical part, right?
Right.
Like that's the God given ability.
But what I'm saying is, like, for Barry Bonds, for instance. Barry Bonds, steroids doesn't help with his eye and hand coordination. It doesn't. Steroids does not help him connect the bat to the ball. Now he can wait on pitches longer, maybe, and swing his bat faster because of it. Possibly, like I can't even measure that. But for hand and eye coordination, steroids didn't help Barry
so
Bonds with that.
So there's a certain amount of skill
there's still instinct that goes into it. There's still a skill that they have that that we're not
okay.
there.
That, and that's a given, right? I mean, you're going to have to – you're not just going to take – I can't take steroids and go play opening day for the Twins, right? Like you need to be
right.
able to have the skill. But I remember McGuire's I was actually watching it with – I was in college and we were watching it. Me and a couple of my teammates were at the softball girl's house. We were watching the game, messing around, you know. And I wasn't even that big into baseball. But
right.
when he came up to the plate, everybody stopped what they were doing and,
right.
you know, hanging out. And it was like, McGuire's up. Knocks it out the park. Like, man, I just saw history. Like, that was my superhero moment. Like, I don't even know that much about baseball, but I knew that this was a big deal.
Then
you fast forward 5 years or 10 years later when he's in front of Congress and it's like, wait, this guy was juiced.
So it lost the effect for you?
He lost his luster, man. I'm just being honest.
If you want to see some comedy, look at Mark McGuire's rookie card.
Yeah,
how skinny he is.
He's
with
real
the
small.
Oakland A's, right?
He's super small.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the same thing with Sosa. It just
But the thing about it is, I'll go back to this. I think out of all those guys, Ken Griffey was clearly the best baseball player. Ken Griffey Jr. was better than all those guys, right? But what happened? Injuries riddled Ken Griffey Jr. If Ken Griffey Jr. takes steroids to help him recover from injuries, there's no doubt in my mind that he's – I don't think he ever would have hit 70 home runs like Bonds did, but he's the best baseball player from 90s on
But
I'm saying I think it helped them more for
recovery.
So how
do you feel about Ken Griffey Jr. right now, today? Do you, when his name comes up, do you have a negative, like, oh,
no,
man,
I don't.
That
there
dude?
Is no, there's no negative.
Like, I, when you, I haven't heard, I haven't thought about Ken Griffey Jr. in probably 2 years since he retired. He got caught sleeping in the Cincinnati Reds dugout or something
that. They, and they were wrong for
and
releasing
were,
that.
And they were like,
hey, man,
yeah, it's
Ken
time
Griffey,
to go.
Man, listen, man, that was bogus. They did you bogus. If you ever hear this, man, your boy Zach got your back.
But listen,
man.
Listen. So this is the first time I've heard
his name.
He's got
a place to stay in North.
He's got a place to stay.
Yeah.
This is the first time I heard his name.
Right.
Like, when you said his name, I was like, man, Griffey, that was my
dope.
Guy. Like,
yeah.
Griffey was dope. I feel good right now just talking, remembering how good he was, the cultural impact he had with a lot of young minorities
definitely.
In the inner cities.
Yep.
When you say McGuire, when you say Sosa, when you say Bonds, it's like, oh, those guys,
they
cheated.
Yeah,
they
there's
cheated.
A, there's an asterisk next to them in your head.
They're in my
there's
head. And that,
about
they may not care because, like I said before, they don't have to give back the money. But to me, as long as it's never tainted and we don't hear anything about Ken Griffey, like, he's my guy. I don't know if he's up for the Hall of Fame or how that
no,
works.
Will he get in? He'll be a first ballot.
Okay.
Ball
yeah,
fame.
So, like, Griffey's my, like, that's my guy, man. And I'm glad he didn't engage in that.
Yeah,
you know?
I
I'm
do,
glad he didn't engage in that.
A part of me wishes that, hey, there's another side of me that's like, man, to see Ken Griffey Jr. be able to play at that level. And if at a
so you would be okay with Ken Griffey having to go through all this stuff these other guys have been through?
Yeah, I guess, but yeah, I don't
wouldn't
know.
Wouldn't that tank – when you talk about if your son start playing baseball and you talk, wouldn't that tank
it would
who he
tank.
Was?
But Tone, do you blame baseball more so than – I blame baseball in this more so than the players.
I just blame competition. I can't – what am I – the MLB?
Yeah, I blame them because
I don't blame the MLB.
I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to give you my okay. They had the strike season, right? Major League Baseball goes on strike. Major League Baseball is dying in America. Nobody's coming to the parks. Nobody's doing any of that.
Right. We're
what
talking 95,
people,
96.
Yeah, so
94, 95 season was the strike.
So what got people interested? Attendance is down all across the board. What got people excited about baseball? McGuire and Sosa got people excited about baseball. Now
agreed.
People are coming back to the parks. Now people are paying attention to baseball. And baseball took a blind eye to what was going on because it gained in popularity. That sport was dying. You know what I mean? So they knew
so
what
you're,
was going
you're saying
on.
Major League, and I think they did take a blind eye
they,
to it.
Of course.
I think they did. But you're saying, so you're saying you blame them because by taking a blind eye, they – by default, told the players, oh, it's okay.
They allowed
it. It's okay.
They allowed it. So now, who's to say and to keep those guys out of the Hall of Fame is super ridiculous because that is the era that they played in. How are we going to know? Think about this. How many pitchers did Barry Bonds face that was on steroids?
But he
You'll
got,
never
Jack,
know the
he
answer
got
to
caught,
that.
Right?
Right?
I mean, that's
he
the,
didn't, no,
come
he
on
didn't,
now.
He didn't get caught. He's never got caught.
He's under suspicion.
He's under continued suspicion. But there's other guys.
He's a person of interest.
Man, now they got – I'm talking about guys like Greg Gagne and all these closers that were
– Rocket Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens, all these guys. So who's to say that he didn't – he could have been playing against a bunch of people who were juicing. And it is what it
no,
is.
No, he probably was, but again, he's the guy under suspicion. I mean, he's the person of interest. Have they talked about keeping Bonds out? I don't keep up with baseball.
The Bonds didn't make it. Sosa didn't make it on their first. None of those guys.
What about
made
McGuire?
It. No, he didn't make it. And
okay.
I don't think
they should.
And I don't know if Bonds is. But what I'm saying is, if you don't let them in, you get rid of a whole era of baseball because now Rafael Palmeiro's not getting in. Now Roger Clemens is not getting in. So you might as well just erase that whole era that you took a blind eye to.
So then is it to question to you guys, is it really – it's kind of a circular loop in that the players do this for the money and the fame, which comes from us in the aggregate as fans, and we really want the best, and we kind of turned a blind eye to – you know what I mean? We turn a blind eye because the whole deer antler spray thing. It kind of just got swept under the like it was. Dude had phone calls. I mean, to me, he gave Ray the stuff and Ray used it. That's what it looks like.
It was kind of like, nice job, dude. You got one game left. Win,
only,
and then we're
right,
not going to worry
like,
about
it. Let's just not talk about it because it's going to ruin the story. And so
there was a lot of that going on.
It became taboo to say, "Well, Ray, tell me what happened." Like you're saying, you're not going to talk about it, but dude's got
and
tape.
He was just thanking God and going on with his with his
so
thing. You know?
Here's the deal. Like,
well, let me hold on just real
ahead,
quick. My
ahead,
question:
it,
so, do
ahead.
You guys think that the fans Are we complicit? Like, are we part of this, whole performance-enhancing drug culture in professional sports?
Probably me, because I wanted to see Ray Lewis play.
Right.
Regardless of him using deer antler spray.
It didn't matter.
Remember I told you I didn't care if he drank whale pee to get back on the field. Like, I really didn't. And, I mean, his performance in the Super Bowl, he didn't have any spectacular performance. Right. If anything, I think he used something more for the fact to recover to get back on the field.
Right.
And I think that that's what it's more about. Now, with Kobe Bryant, like, going back to Kobe Bryant, I don't know if there's anything he can take to make him more athletic,
yeah, but
give him an edge. He could take something to make his body recover faster.
Zach, that's our collective ignorance about the drugs, right? Like, we don't know what's out there.
Did
you know what I mean? Like, hold on.
Able to do that.
Zach, a week before the Super Bowl, if somebody would have said deer antler spray,
right,
you would have said what? Like, that's a performance enhancing drug,
right?
So we don't know what you're saying. You don't know that there's anything that can make Kobe more athletic. I'm saying that's our, like, we don't know that there is. We don't know what we don't know, right? Well, to quote Donald Rumsfeld.
Whatever Kobe got, let me get some for my next touch football season, because I want to shine.
I think it was whale piss.
When I play softball, yeah, maybe whale piss would do it.
No, KT, to answer your question, I think we have become complacent, but part of it is because it's just so vague. It's just such a gray area. In the late 90s or mid-90s, it was steroids or not. And now there's all these alternatives. There's doctors doing research that are just running private labs and making a ton of money.
Right.
There's such a gray area that it's hard for us to keep up and know what really is performance enhancing.
And you say gray area, and that's why I've been using kind of the just generic term steroids. When I say steroids, I just mean anything that's really not, like, there's vitamins that are accepted and have been accepted for maybe 25, 50, you know, years. And then there's everything else, right? And, like, to me, that everything else is stuff that you know you should not be taking. Whether you get it at GNC or not, I don't care. Like, you know, testosterone is, you shouldn't be taking testosterone.
Anything messing
right?
with hormones, I mean, yeah. There's a whole category of that stuff.
And I think, Zach, I really think maybe we need to do some research, because I think there is stuff out there that can make you more athletic.
I think maybe we should, and I think maybe we need to call Kofi being a pharmacist. He told me basically what Manny Ramirez was using.
Yeah.
Because what Manny Ramirez was using, and I don't know the correct term, but basically he was putting in estrogen in his body.
That's
to,
right.
To
That's
make
right.
it so that to mask the steroid.
Right.
So he's right. putting testosterone in his body, but then he's
using estrogen, to kind of balance it out. Like that?
But yeah. But Kofi said, now pay attention to his features. Manny Ramirez, look how long his hair got. Look how big his chest got from taking that stuff. And he's like, that was the side effect of him taking that. Hair getting longer, chest getting bigger, you know, all that stuff. And I don't know what exactly.
Just like
Manny
when
Ramirez
women athletes take testosterone.
Exactly.
They exhibit male features.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all kind of stuff. And I agree. Like, I think Tone made the point of, you're never going to catch it because scientists are probably 5-10 years ahead of the game. But if there was anything to give somebody to make them more athletic, like, for instance, Kevin Garnett, you think he's where he should be in terms of a player? Like, he's 37 years old.
I'd like it if he stepped up a little bit.
Yeah.
Even look at Paul Pierce. He can still get you for 18, 20 in
a
game.
When I see Paul Pierce, I don't see anything. Just being honest, I don't see anything in his body or his game that lets me say, still, I really do think Paul Pierce might have the highest skill level. He's definitely a top five, just from a skill perspective.
Set,
from a skill perspective.
Right.
But I'm going to say this, man. I if it came out in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years that, man, a lot of these guys were juicing in the NBA, I would not be surprised, because of my original point that people will do – none of us, I'm guessing, have had access to $25 million, $30 million, $50 million contracts, right, or net worths.
But
I turned a couple down last week.
But when you do, I can't say, I would like to say morally, I object to that. That's not something I would do. It's an abstraction. I don't know what that means. You know what I mean? I don't know. how Dwayne Wade feels. I don't know what LeBron James feels like. I don't know what Kobe feels like. I don't know what Dirk feels like.
This dude.
So I would not be surprised if steroids were in the game.
I would be surprised if Dirk took steroids.
To me, he kind of falls in that Paul Pierce category where you don't really see.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't really. There's recovery drugs too, right?
Right.
There's recovery drugs.
The first person that has I've heard of being linked to steroids in the NBA was Hedo Turkoglu. He'd be the last person that I would think would be taking steroids. Hedo Turkoglu is, you know, they have him on, you know, he's been rumored to have taken
He got caught, right? What if that was to maintain the Hedo Turkoglu that we knew?
Yeah, that's true.
You see what I'm saying? Like, what if that was just, he was doing that just to be the guy he was with the Raptors?
And there's got
to
be a lot of that.
Yeah.
Not everybody has
you
all
guys
those
didn't,
skills.
Tone, can you maybe look up the Derrick Rose, Google like Derrick Rose quote about steroids? Because do you remember how hard the league came back at him? Somebody from ESPN had asked him a question 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And Derrick Rose said, I'm paraphrasing, yeah, I'm not surprised or something like that. And then the league got on him remember he had to come back and he walked it back and he was like, well, I was really just talking about in general and I don't know any play. And to me, when I read that quote, I was like, oh, this guy knows something.
But
like,
huge and I think we need to level the playing field where nobody has an advantage over the next
hold
person.
On. So did they have the question that was posed to him?
No.
I'm paraphrasing the question, Zach, and I want you to read that quote again, Tone. This was an interview that they did, and they asked Derrick Rose about steroids. What was that quote again?
It's huge, and I think we need a level playing field where nobody has that advantage over the next person.
And then after that, Stern and the NBA PR got hold of Derrick Rose, and like 2 days later, he walked
it back.
He
backs off and says steroid use in the NBA isn't a problem.
Come on. Now, that the first quote that, is the real yeah, is the
that's,
real
that's
quote,
what,
you know?
You, and I agree. I you know what? I'm going to say this, man. But you're talking about football players.
No, he's talking about
NBA players. But when you bring up the point of football players and their bodies and different things like that, you've never seen anybody built like LeBron James. You've never seen anybody. Look at Dwight Howard.
Yeah,
the dude
Howard's
is
crazy.
Huge. Now, yeah. And he's lean,
he's
though.
That's
look at his shoulders, man. I mean, you look at these guys and you're like, man, these dudes are like mutants. Like, if you look at, you look at Lamar Odoms, that's what I would think of a basketball player's body to look like. Real lean, real like lanky, tall.
Right.
You know, Lamar Odom's not a little guy by any means, right, but that's right. How I would think. But
now,
you look
now
at
it's
LeBron,
NFL wide receivers. Are
I mean,
playing.
You look at, I mean, yeah. Even Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade looks like Percy Harvin, man.
Yeah.
He's
but
big.
Zach, I don't really expect anything less of the human race. There's more people than ever on this earth. Diets are better. People aren't dying at 65.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that. I think, you know, and that's what one of the points Simmons made is that there has been progress in diets and technology and training. I guess from the NBA, I'm not that concerned about like looking at Dwight Howard's body or LeBron James's body and saying, because they're to me they look
man.
Like what you could do if you started lifting weights.
I'm
concerned
man.
With the NFL. My thing is with the NFL, man.
Yes.
Those you can't be 275 pounds with six pack abs and a 34 waist. I don't know how you do that unless you're taking steroids. I'm sorry, man.
Offensive linemen are
I'm
pretty
sorry.
They're just big. But you're talking about like people.
No, I'm talking about like defensive linemen,
yeah,
man.
He's talking about
linemen.
DNs that run 4.4, have a six-pack, and
exactly
weigh 265.
Right. What's the kid from Chicago that was in Carolina? Played for North Carolina.
He's talking about Julius Peppers.
Julius Peppers.
Oh, he's a – but I think he's just a freak.
Let me say this, man. I want to go on the record as saying we all know that there are genetic mutations that make – again, I reference Einstein, that make Stephen Hawking, that make Bill Gates. And the same thing happens with athletes, right?
Right.
You make Lance Armstrong's heart, I read somewhere, was like 1.25 times bigger than the normal bicyclist's heart, which allowed him to do certain things.
Right.
So you get the genetic – LeBron James is a genetic freak, right?
Right.
So I don't want to discount that, but – across the board, like we're seeing way too many, you know, way too many of these guys.
Well, what
right?
I'm saying is, okay, you take a player, James White, James Flight White, dude can jump out of the gym. He
New
got
York
athletic
Knicks guard.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I think that we can't discredit the skill of a LeBron James. Like, he's no doubt like a ridiculous athlete.
So let me ask you this.
Skill-wise, I mean, that's for him improving on his game, him being able to shoot better, him being able to pass, his jump shot, I don't think like a steroid would have anything to do with his jump shot getting better.
Let me ask you this, a good thought exercise then. What does – you say LeBron James has a high skill level, because I don't necessarily agree with that.
What?
I think a lot of his game is – when I think skill, I think, to me – I'm not saying he's not skilled,
no, I
right?
Know what
it's
you're
a
saying.
Spectrum, right?
Right, right.
Carmelo Anthony has an incredibly high skill level. Kobe Bryant has an incredibly high skill level. When
Paul,
I look at
Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce, incredibly high skill level. Dirk, incredibly high skill level. When I look at Wade and LeBron, in my mind, Jordan, high skill level. Bird, high skill level. I don't look at LeBron.
But LeBron, this season, getting there, I think.
But it's 10 years in.
You know what?
Carmelo came in with a high school
But this
level.
Is what I'm saying. I think you're basing it, and I think it has a lot to do with how they're built. Those dudes are, like, Carmelo's footwork, and I think you're basing it a lot on footwork, too. Their footwork is, like, ridiculous.
I'm talking about jump shot.
His jump shot looks, everything. Dribbling the basketball. He's never going to look like – I mean, he looks like – the dude looks like – because you haven't seen anybody like a power forward type dude that can be able – he's like Anthony Mason. You know what I'm saying? Like how big Anthony Mason was when he had those handles
Mason
and stuff.
Mason was slow, though.
Like, he was slow, but you're talking about a dude that's fast. So it looks like LeBron is just some big brute.
You're right, because he's so athletic. You get the skill. You're okay.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what, Zach? You're probably right that because he's so athletic, his skill gets lost in his athleticism. But let me ask you this: if LeBron James, if you took his game and put it in Paul Pierce's body, do you think LeBron's game, as it is today, his J, his handle, his footwork, his post game, his mid range, do you think he gets? He's as good as Paul Pierce is.
No.
Now, next question.
No.
Take Paul Pierce's game. Handles, craftiness, stroke. Pierce is pure, or he used to be pure. Post-up game, and you put that into LeBron James's athleticism. Is Pierce better than even the LeBron we know now?
Of course.
I'm saying yes.
Of course.
He probably I'm saying is. Yes, man.
And those guys have had to become better because they don't have that body type. Look at J.J. Barea. If he was 7 feet tall, he'd be a maniac. He'd be a Dirk.
Right. But what about Magic Johnson? He's 6'9". He wasn't athletic.
He really wasn't.
He wasn't that great of a jump shooter. His skill set, he could pass the ball.
He was skilled. Magic had a high skill
skilled.
Level.
He
had IQ.
And that's the thing that we got to put into perspective, the IQ of the person. LeBron James has a ridiculous IQ for basketball.
Does he really?
Same thing.
I hear people say that all the time. I think his
basketball IQ is high. And the reason
I think
I
he has
that,
more instinct than IQ, Zach. That's really? My feeling on it, yeah.
Hold on, Zach. When you say basketball IQ, because everybody has a different definition of this. So how would you define basketball
I would define
IQ?
I would define it like this. I would define that – in with instincts and everything being involved, that you are aware of making the best play possible on the court. So you're always aware of what's going on. You know what, and from running plays, you know what everybody's supposed to do.
Right.
You understand angles.
Right.
You understand, like, him passing out of a double team. He's one of, and he's super strong. So I've seen him do this a lot. LeBron James gets the ball on the other side of the court. He sees where the trap is coming from. He immediately knows where to throw the ball to. That is basketball IQ. You look at somebody like Russell Westbrook, I don't think he has the highest basketball IQ. He doesn't always make the correct play.
Okay.
LeBron James always seems to make the correct play.
You know what, Zach? I think you're right, and I think LeBron's athleticism is just so
right.
It's so we've never seen it before,
right.
So it washes over his IQ. It washes over his skill set. I will stick with my Paul Pierce comment, though. I think Paul Pierce is highly skilled,
right.
And if you took Paul Pierce's game and put it in LeBron athleticism, that product will be better than the LeBron we see right now.
But see, the thing about it is, I mean, Paul Pierce really is not – Paul Pierce has a decent handle, but he don't have handle like LeBron.
You're when I say handle, I mean not speed with hand. I'm talking right. about just skill of dribbling the ball.
He gets to, you know what?
One LeBron's thing, handle is really it's predicated on him being faster than you.
It could be.
You know what I mean? And that's what makes it look. Because think about your best ball handlers. They're all fast.
They are, right.
Steve Nash is an probably counter to
and
those
maybe
examples.
Maybe Kyrie Irving. He ain't the fastest.
Oh, he's got guy. Quick.
He's quick.
Kyrie
though.
Is quick. He Kyrie is quick. Steve Nash is an excellent ball handler, but a guy that's not probably super fast.
Right.
So that's when I say hand, I mean like technically he's really good right. with the ball, right. you know? So
you know what? And this last point about Paul Pierce, and David Green brought this up to – made this point about Paul Pierce – and I asked him, I said, why does Paul Pierce always get to where he needs to go on the basketball court? He's not fast. He's not quick. He said, if you notice, he said, Paul Pierce never wastes a dribble, which is like one of the most important things. Like, that's what I'm trying to teach, right. you know, my kids playing basketball. Like, right. my son, he's in third grade. Now, so I'm trying, don't waste your, don't just get the ball and start dribbling.
Right.
Use your dribble effectively. And if you see Paul Pierce, he can take two dribbles, bam, bam, and get to where he needs to go
right.
because he's using his dribble effectively. So many people like George Carl called J.R. Smith a weed killer because he just constantly dribbles the ball.
Right.
So I think but that's another thing of being smart, having a high IQ, and just being crafty is that too, you know. But yeah.
Tone, you got anything else to add on this steroids conversation?
As far as just basketball IQ, I was going to say I think Steve Nash, I think Jason Kidd, I think guys that make really good decisions.
Michael Jordan.
Absolutely.
High IQ.
Not necessarily a clutch shooter, but a right. guy whose hands you want the ball on when there's 3 seconds left.
Because you know
three.
He can make the play.
He's going to make the pass, yep. not necessarily the shot.
Yep, but he's going to make the play.
He's not going to fumble it or he's not going to call a timeout when you don't have a timeout left. It's all of that stuff.
Right, I agree, Tom.
Right. All right, so it was a little different today, but I thought it was a good conversation.
Oh, real good.
What we're going to do is there's going to be a steroids part two, and we're just going to close. I know Tone's giving me a signal. We're just going to close the show out, right? We won't do this or that today. I think it was a good steroids conversation. We're going to do a little more research. We're going to put some structure around it. Jabbar will be back with us next week or in a couple weeks. And then I think this is a good topic, man. I mean, we got guys that are passionate about athletics. And we'll just kind of run through the gamut of a couple things. I really want to explore that Derrick Rose quote more because I'm telling you, Zach, you know, who knows better than Rose?
Hey, that's true.
He's with the guys, and he's seen it. And that first quote is his real feeling, man.
That's his real feeling.
That first quote is his real feeling. And so, to me, that opened my eyes like, whoa. Like,
he
was still a young gun at that point. And he just came out and said it. So we're going to give you steroids part two, maybe not next week, but in a couple weeks it'll be a little more structured. Thanks for listening. I hope you like the conversation. For Zach and producer Tone, it's KT. KT got game. Request the flow. I might be busy. I sound more baby, yo. Some things you just can't cancel, you know, because I never phone need.